حضرت روم رحمة الله عليه claims that anyone that has progressed on account of the dua and the tawajjuh of some pious righteous person. Sometimes the one who you have derived the benefit from may be known to you. And sometimes you are oblivious. It is oblivious. Either you don't know him or he doesn't know you. But the benefit is there. Look at the sun. Its benefit is one and sundry, everybody reaches, it reaches everybody. You're living in the south, you're living in the north, whichever part of the world you're living, but you receive and enjoy the benefit of the sun. It may be that you do not know that this is directly the benefit of the sun or indirectly the benefit of the sun. The food that you eat, right, its growth depends upon the sun. Sometimes you know about it, that its growth depends upon the sun. And sometimes you don't know about it. The warmth and the heat that you enjoy, it is on account of the sun. Sometimes you know this fact. And many a times you don't know the fact. But for you to derive the benefit, you don't have to know about it. That this is the way and this is the sequence how you are receiving and enjoying the benefit. So in spite of you not recognizing the one that is passing on this benefit to you, you still receive and enjoy the benefit. Similar is the case with the sun. Sometimes it doesn't know that it is passing on benefit to so many people. Sun doesn't know you. In spite of it not knowing you, yet you receive and enjoy the benefit of the sun. So this benefit that comes and that reaches, it is on account of some pious individual. Jigar Muradabadi's poetry is quite popular. He says, Teri talabbi kisi ka karam ka sadqa hai, ye qadam uthte nahi hai, uthaye jate hai. Jigar Muradabadi was a drunken man all his life in drink. He used to be really, really consumed with alcohol. Doesn't know what he's doing. He was a poet of the time, and the poet has to be living in a different plane, looking for ideas, looking for some type of theory, some type of idea that he could be fascinated and fascinate others as well. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ Moving around, straying about in valleys, looking for something to speak about. So this is the poet. One poet. Sometimes he's engaged in namaz. And whilst engaged in namaz, some line of poetry passes his mind. Immediately he'll break his namaz, write down that line of poetry, and then return back to his namaz. So someone would ask him, why do you do this? He says, namaz I can make qaza of. This line that has flashed in my mind, perhaps it will vanish, it will not come back again. So I need to preserve this line. So whatever they are doing, they are looking for something, some content, and something to present themselves. So that's the life of a poetry. He's living in a land of fantasy, imagination, illusion. This happens to many a youth that is living in a land of fantasy and illusion. Something he's exploring. And when that happens, then he says everything will fall in place. Sometimes it happens with drugs, that you're exploring the type of ecstasy that you had enjoyed for the first time. First time you enjoyed that type of ecstasy and that enjoyment and excitement, trying it again, and the third time, and the fourth time, to realize that that enjoyment is not going to come back to you again. It's once in a lifetime that you have got that type of experience, and that's it, finish, end of the story. You're not going to get the same type of enjoyment. And this is the case with every haram, be it wine, be it woman. One time you had that enjoyment. After that you try for the same novelty and the same excitement, you're not going to get that. Now you're just going to go through the motions, but the type of novelty, the type of experience that you had gone through for the first time, that's not going to be repeated again. Man's life is in this chakkar, in this whole circle, like a circus. He's going to go again, try, go again, try, go again and try. But to realize that that's not going to come again. So lucky is the person who understands it at the outset, that I'm not going to get this as I would desire. So the poet says, مَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَشْتَهِيهِ الْمَرْءُ يُدْرِكُهُ وَتَجْرِ الرِّيَاحُ بِمَا لَا تَشْتَهِيهِ السُّفُنُ. That everything a man aspires for, he doesn't get. The winds blow contrary to the direction that the ship desire. The ship desire to move in a direction, he doesn't always get a wind that is conforming, agreeable. You don't get an agreeable wind all the time. In the old days, the ships used to be navigating through the winds. So the ship doesn't always get agreeable wind. Sometimes it's agreeable, sometimes it isn't agreeable. Sometimes it is the direction that you are looking for, sometimes it is not in that direction. So, in this world, this is what's going to happen. You're not going to get all that you desire for, what your heart wishes for, what your mind aspires for, you're not going to get. So when this is going to be the case in this world, you don't get everything that you aspire, you desire for, then what should you do with this aspiration? Aspiration is natural. You have an aspiration, you can't kill it, you can't destroy it. You can't say, I've got an aspiration, now I must ignore that aspiration of mine, I must ignore that desire of mine. So what's the right thing? What do you do with this aspiration, this hope? Hope, longing, yearning. And each person has it in different ways. Some person has it in ways which is deplorable, like someone has got it in woman or drugs, etc. It's deplorable, he's got it. Now this is deplorable in the sight of people. And others have it, but that what he has is not deplorable in the sight of people. People don't disgust it. But in its nature, it is deplorable as well. He's got an obsession with wealth, halal or haram, whether it's interest, whether it is gambling and casinos, whether it is insurance, whatever, but the wealth must come to him. In the eyes of people, every wealth is not deplorable. He's got it through interest. People don't speak against it generally. He's got it through some casino. Some people speak against it, others don't speak bad about it. He's got it through some type of insurance plan and scheme. So some people speak against it, others don't speak against it. They see rather how smart this person is. One person, he had insured his consignment that was coming from China somewhere. And because it was not to his specification, so he filed a suit against the company that was supplying, or against whoever, the insurance company. And he got 5 million rand for that. 5 or 8 million rand, he got just one. So nobody speaks ill about that. Whereas it was a pre-orchestrated thing. He had told the supplier, give me a million pair of shoes, for example. But that million pair of shoes, give me only the right side. Don't give me the left side. Now he received the thing doxed in Durban. And he's only got the right side, he doesn't have the left. So he sues the company and he sues the insurance. So the insurance has to pay him out the loss of sales, what he expected in that month, because it was Christmas season now, business season. So that business season, he's lost sales and he can't get that shoe again. So now the insurance company has to pay him. So it is just a matter of him being more smart than the system. How can he bypass the system? He bypassed the system, he secured that money, and is living and is sitting very prettily, happily. The advocate that is fighting his case, he's also happy, he's also happy, both are moving on. That we are falling within the parameters of the law, so it's alright for us. So he's not worried. So some people have got an obsession, has got aspirations, but that aspiration is deplorable. Everybody speaks ill about it. It's disgusting. Everybody speaks against it. And others have that type of aspiration, but that aspiration is not deplorable in the eyes of everybody. Some people don't see it good, and others don't mind. Majority of the people don't think bad about it. Eh? So it's also disgusting, it's also deplorable, but it is not disgusting in the sight of people. People can't be the judge. The real judge is Allah Ta'ala. What has gone wrong with us today is we have put too much of importance of what people will say. How will it be seen by people? That's our problem. Many persons' life has been wrecked, has been destroyed because of his fear for reputation, his fear of public image. How will people view him? If he's got a wedding of his child, of his daughter or his son, he has to do it in a certain way. Why? Fear of reputation. What will people say? If he's got a house, and the house must be built in a certain way, in a certain place, in a certain location, certain area. Why? If he doesn't have it like that, then this is how people are going to respond. So, many a time we get consumed by people's image, people's feelings, how people will see you. So as though we have changed the whole goal from Allah Ta'ala to people. One person got his daughter married in the Yoman of Sahanpur, and he spent a lot of money, lots of money spent. So after the wedding was over, Imam Qasim Sahib Nanatwi Rahmatullahi went up to him and told him, Nawab Sahib, what a wonderful thing you have done. Spent so much. You opened your heart. Really, you opened your heart. You know, literally, and you spent, and you spent, and you spent. You spent 5 million, you spent. So you really spent something. You did an excellent piece of job. But the downside of it is, you spent on what? You spent on your reputation. All that 5 million that you spent was spent on your reputation, on your public image, what people see, and how people see you tomorrow. Now, when you spend so much on that, you spend so much on a commodity, but I want to know, this commodity that you spent upon, you know, you buy a commodity, you spent upon this commodity, you take it to the marketplace, can you get 5 cents for it? That I spent on my reputation, I spent on my image. This what you spent upon, can you buy that? Can you sell that for 5 cents or 5 rupees? They can't. So this is the end, and this is the very conclusion, this is the very end, the result of being over worried of your reputation, over worried about your public image. See? We don't say, Islam doesn't say that don't worry about your respect. Right? Man qutila duna malihi wa man qutila duna irdihi. It doesn't say that you don't worry about your respect. But that is the least that you need to spend upon. You are getting your child married, for example, then the marriage, the nikah can take place with 10,000 rands. Walima, the mahar, and whatever other expenses, all can be done in that 10,000, 15,000 rands. Can be done comfortably, it can be done in a small way, in a respectable way, it can be done. But no, you feel to yourself that I won't earn that type of respect if I don't do it to this level and to this standard. You spend on that occasion, when you spend on that occasion, then this is what you are left with. On the other way, when you do it very moderately and very easily, you can think well. Now you are being consumed with public image. Your wife will tell you something, your child will tell you something, and your friend will tell you something, and your auntie will tell you something. So everybody's feeling and everybody's suggestion you're trying to accommodate. At the end, who pays for it? You pay for it. That 5 mil that you have to take out for it. Whether it was on account, whether it was cash, whether it was robbing and cheating, whether it was bluffing and lying, whichever dishonest way you have employed. But at the end of it, what happens? You have to cough all that money. But if it was sparingly, you economized, you said, took out 10, 15, 20,000 rand, you spent on the nikah. Now this is an easy thing. Now you have still got that 3, 4 million rand. The 3, 4 million rand, you can use it more profitably, more intelligently. Now you think to yourself, alright, I've got my daughter or my son, I've got both of them married. So they'll need something for them to continue their lives. Let me make an investment for them and let them continue their lives with ease. At least this will be a start off for them. They'll get 10-15,000 rands a month. This will be a start off for them. Now, for the rest of their life, they have got something, and they have got something to stand upon. In the first case, now it must start off the whole chakkar again. The whole cycle must start off again. But in the second case, when you weren't consumed by public and by people, then you spent your wealth, but you spent your wealth intelligently, with understanding. You are at ease, your children are at ease. You are at ease, and your concerns about your children are, you don't have any concerns about your children. They will respect you also, because they will not see what you are doing, may not be so happy of what you are doing. But when they see the outcome of the whole thing, then they'll agree with this. No, see, had my father only spent in this way, we would have been in difficulties today. But he spent in this way, now alhamdulillah, we are all at ease, we are all relaxing. Though at that moment it seemed quite difficult, but really, he has done something, and he has done something intelligently, wisely. So Allah Pak doesn't like this. See, this. We have it always, no. What I desire, what I aspire for, we must do it. And your aspirations may not be right. It may not be the best thing. You're aspiring for it, and giving your life for it. At the end, when you have given your life to it, then it leaves you, it lets you down. Then what are you going to do? You're aspiring for a woman, for example, and after 5-10 years of difficulty, perhaps you've got that woman. At the time that she's now caught cancer, and her whole body is shrinking, whole beauty is all gone off now. Now you begin to cry over it. Now this is what I had given my health for, I had given my energy for, and this is what I get. This is the thing that I get. What price I've paid for. So we are talking of this Jigar Muradabadi. This was his initial life. This was the beginning of his life. And after some times, Khaja Majzoob Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was a high school inspector. Very intelligent, capable person. For that zamana to get that position was a great achievement. Everybody won't get that achievement. They won't get that type of position. I'm talking of over 100 years ago. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he came around, so he met up with Jigar. So Jigar says, you know, sometimes I really feel very, very remorseful of the type of life I'm leading. I'm living in drugs, I'm living in wine, etc. I have to do it to service this habit of mine. And to get that type of poetry, that feelings of poetry, I have to do all these things here. If I don't do it, then I don't get it. But if I do it, you know, I know that I'm involved in haram. Sometimes the feeling comes to me that I must go and live in the company of Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi for some time. But now what face do I have to go and live in his company when I am soaked in this type of an evil habit? How can I go? Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi said, yes, yeah, in this state, it's not the right thing, not the appropriate thing for you to be coming to the company of Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Anyway, the murid, the right thing for the murid is to discuss things with his sheikh. If he's done something and he's not absolutely clear, or he's clear but he's got a small percentage of doubt, very, very small inkling that perhaps I didn't do the best thing. May have been the right thing but not the best thing. So the right thing for him is to discuss it with his sheikh. Otherwise, if he goes on doing things without discussing, then that will be a habit-forming thing. And then later on in life you'll realize it's stumbled, it's made some mistake somewhere. So the Shaykh sees something with vision and with sight, he knows, and he sees because of the vision that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with, he sees that this thing, is it good in the short term and is it good in the long term as well. He doesn't only look at it at the short term, he looks at it at the short and the long term. Like the father, he doesn't just give the sweet to the child unlimited. He knows now, I'm going to give the sweet unlimited now, and the child is going to be miserable at night. He's not going to be right at night. Or he'll be overstocked with energy, and he won't sleep, and he won't let anybody sleep. So the child will get what he aspires for, but he will give it to him in that limitation, he'll give it to him. So the father looks at things short term and long term. He doesn't look only at short term. He looks at short term and long term. Sees what's good for the child, accordingly he will spend on the child. So the mashayikh also they see these things, what is good in the short term and in the long term. It may be permissible in the nature, but you are looking at it in the short term and the long term, you're looking at it both. So the student doesn't know, he doesn't know these things yet. He is seeing a thing, he's seeing it in the short term, it is so enjoyable. And this is so exciting, why can't I take it, why can't I do this? He doesn't realize that there is someone that is above him, that is seeing things in long term, got more vision. So why don't you pass it with him? You've got a small little reservation about it, pass it with him first. So anyway, Khaira Sahib Rahmatullah comes to Thanabon, he discusses this to Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, this is what happened, and this is the answer that he had given, and I also supported the answer. In this state here, is halat mein jana to bilkul beja hai. Can't be going to that in this condition, in this state of mind. Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, I told him, Arey Khaja Sahib, main samjha ke tum kuch ho gaye honge. Khaja Sahib, I thought you already have progressed, you have got the understanding. Malum hua to ke tum kuch nahi jante. Now I understand that you don't understand this at all. Other than what answer should I have given him? The answer that you should have given him is jaise bhi hal ho, jaisi bhi hal ho, usi hal mein aajao. Whatever the condition, you come in that very state of yours. Whatever the condition, maybe you feel that is not the appropriate condition, you feel that is not the appropriate thing to come in this state. Leave your reasoning, leave your assessment and your analysis. What you do in that very state, you come. Maybe this very coming, That may be a revolution in your whole life. That very coming, you came with sincerity, you came with a resolve, you came with determination. So that coming of yours may just bring about a total revolution in your life. You will see things differently, you will understand things differently, and you will take a different course just by that one sitting. Anyway, Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh heard this for the second time. Now he had to go that end, because now he's an inspector. An inspector has to go to all places. One, he may be serving one place for 6 months, one in a year. So maybe after a year he went on that end. He met up with Jigar again, and he related this entire episode to Jigar. Jigar was excited. He said, "Hey, I'm in this state here. Mawlana still feels great about me." So his heart was captured. He felt so great that Mawlana, in spite of my condition, my pathetic situation, Mawlana feels so much, so high about me. So he forgot all that ideas of his, he dumped it, he abandoned all that ideas, and he came. And that, true to his word, that one sitting was the starting point for the entire revolution in his life. Now you see him, you think, you know, is this a buzrug or a Mawlana or what? Or that same drunkard that we knew of. So the important thing here is to hold on to that mashayikh. See, until you don't have that stability into your deen, you don't have that firm stability, firm, strong. Like that student that is still studying, right? And his fortune is he holds to his teacher. He doesn't say, "No, I've got some education, now you can continue." You may have some education, but that education may be deficient. You have got that knowledge, you have got that education, but it's likely that the education that you have got is deficient. You have got that education, for example, about a penicillin injection, right? That thing will treat you, it will suppress the pain. Pain will be suppressed. And you went and administered that injection, and that injection was fatal. A person went into a coma. Lucky not into a full stop, just went into a coma. Right? So you went and administered that, but the education, the knowledge that you had was deficient. When it was deficient, though it was helpful, you didn't know about the side effects of this thing yet. You didn't know that there can be a case where a person is allergic. You didn't know about all these things yet. You just went and administered it. So the right thing for the student was to hold on to his senior. Even though it may seem insignificant, but he's asking his teacher, his tutor, his elder, okay, this is a sick patient that I've got, and must I administer this injection to him? It may sound insignificant, but he's asking, he's referring. The tutor will advise him against it all the time, alright, follow these procedures and then you administer. Now when you are doing it in that way, so you also feel quite comfortable and relaxed in your mind. The patient also feels relaxed in his mind. And overall, the student that is practicing in this way, he gets a good name. MashaAllah. What he does, really, he does thoughtfully. He does a good job for what he does. He doesn't experiment with us. He does a good job in what he does. But this is because of him referring to his elders. So the same here, until you don't have that stability, that firmness, that sound footing in deen, until that point, اتبعوا سبيل من أناب إلي. اتبع سبيل من أناب إلي. Now you've got that firm, rooted stability you've got. You're going anywhere, your eyes are not floating around in wrong places. Your tongue is not being used incorrectly. Your ears are not listening to the wrong things. Your heart is not roaming around in wrong type of lust and temptation. Now you've got that stability, you've got that firmness. You've got that firmness. Now if you move, inshallah, then you are like that person that specialized now. You're specialized in years of experience. It's very unlikely that you're going to stumble, you're going to make a mistake. Because you had the tutorship, you had that education, you had that experience. It's years under the guidance of some elder. So inshallah, with the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, you're not going to make a slip like that. So these slips come on account of us thinking of ourselves to be self-sufficient. So the right thing is to hold on, and the way that you hold on is you will refer to them all the time. All the time you're referring. Small things, big things, things that are not clear at all, or they may have a slight, one small percentage of doubt, not clear about it. So you're finding, you're referring. Now when you're doing and you're working in this way, then you don't have a problem. Allah Ta'ala.